this thing, you know, from the footprint of Agasura, then we've made this wonderful kunda. And you gopis, you don't have any shakti. You can't do nothing. And Radha goes, really? You think like that, huh? Well, my gopis will do it. So they called her gopis, and they broke their bangles. Duck! They broke their kangal, and they went, and they started digging the dirt. And in a half an hour of time, they dug a big kunda. Radha's got a lot of gopi friends, and they're pretty determined. So they dug a big kunda, and Krishna was shocked. Wow, in a half an hour of time, these girls said that they dug out a whole kunda. Well, that's all right. Well, maybe you let the water from my kunda go into your kunda. Nah, nothing doing. Radharani said, your kunda's contaminated by the sin of killing a bull. You're like that. I ain't going to let your water go in my kunda. Forget it. And then, so Krishna's very intelligent. Very intelligent, you know, like this. So the personified rivers, they came and they offered prayers to her. First they asked Krishna, you know, we would like to go there. And he goes, what can I do? It's her kun, man. You know, you got to ask her, you know. And they approached her. Who are you? They asked Radha. And they said, well, I'm the Tamraparani. I'm the Sindhu. I'm the Yamuna. I'm the, you know, I'm the Godavari. I'm the, right, Reva. I'm like that. I don't think Brahmaputra, and he was, I don't know if he was there. They all said this, right? And they glorified her, and she said, oh, you're very nice, because she's very soft-hearted, you're very nice. What can I do to serve you? We would like to serve you. We would like to come in your kunda, you know, and serve you. And all of you. She glanced at Krishna, you know, you tricky fellow. Okay, you know, and then she broke the bank, and they went in, like that. So it's like that. But Radharani, what amazed me when I first heard that Radharani said, nah, nothing doing. My gopis will take water all the way from Mansiganga. And Mansiganga to Radhakund, that's 5 kilometers. You know, can you imagine how many gopis you got lined up in a line with all mudkas in their head, ready to dunk it and hand it over, you know, here you go, here you go, here you go. You know, hand all these mudkas back and forth, 5 kilometers from Mansiganga all the way to fill water. You know? So Krishna thought, these poor girls should not work so hard, you know, like that. But the fact that they were ready to do it at the drop of a pin shows how surrendered these girls are to Radharani. See? That's how powerful she is. She's powerful. She's extremely beautiful and very chaste, very proper, very intelligent, and the girls are very surrendered to her. She has such high qualities. So this festival is a wonderful chance to understand a little drop of her wonderful qualities. What makes her so special as Krishna's servant? Behind every great man stands a great woman. See? Or sometimes they say, behind every man stands a greater woman. You know, like this. So, just see how wonderful her qualities are. Mentioned the Ujjvala Nilamani, 25 transcendental qualities, how she brings Krishna under control. She's extremely soft-hearted as the compassionate nature of Krishna. So devotees call out her name. In Vrindavan, they call out her name more than any other name. Because if she's pleased, Krishna comes along for free. You know, that's the idea. So it's a very wonderful festival. It's a nice opportunity to purify the heart, to chant some bhajans glorifying Radha and Krishna. And no one should have the slightest doubt in her mind. Moral integrity about it. We cannot imitate Krishna. Now, in order to keep this service attitude, we require, like I said before in the early stages, open communication. Otherwise, like my godbrother, one godbrother told me, wow, you know, I was married with this person for 21 years or 22 years, but did I really know that person? You know? That's the whole thing. When people start to lament for the past or something, or if a marriage breaks up, for example, and they think, did I really know that person? So to tell you frankly, The one of the downsides of technological advancement is that people have become more scared, more introverted, more clammed, closed up, and less open-minded. You know, like they were saying, in the villages in the old days, you could go to sleep with your door open, and nobody would walk in, nobody would bother you. Now you've got so many multi-locks on there, the jolly just gets thicker and thicker. You know, the metal jolly gets thicker and thicker. And you've got, you know, security out there, and you're still scared. And now that you're still afraid somebody's going to steal your credit card numbers, you know, off the web or something like some hacker is going to take your personal information, you know, and run away with half your bank account. You follow me? Has modern technology made you any more safer? No, we're even more scared. So it's more important to for this, without the joint family situation in India, it's more important to get strength from your friends, from your godbrothers. But in order to get there, you got to open up. You got to make friends. You've got to make friends with a devotee. You have to, and you have to focus on what you want, the nectar that sustains you. And then you've got to be very frank about the anarthas that stop you from getting it, that stop you from getting that nectar. You have to open your mind up. The more devotees you can feel comfortable to put your life in their hands, then the easier it is to make advancement. You may have XYZ spiritual masters around the globe, but you have to be very conscious about local. Therefore, my sannyas guru was very good. It doesn't matter what currency you got in your pocket. It flows out the same speed. Who loves you? That's important. Who's taking care of you? What kind of Vaishnava community can you bond in? Now, whatever you learn here, you know, if your nokri finishes here, right? Your job finishes here and you go back to India, or you go, whatever the gifts you got from Radhavallabha Mandir, you know, from Mahaprabhu Mandir, you take the same thing with you. And Chanakya says, if your mind is not controlled, your reputation follows you like your shadow. If your mind is controlled, then your reputation follows you like your shadow. You know, everybody knows where we're coming from. Just by associating for a few days, you get to know where people are coming from. So it's very important to be sincere and straightforward in relationships. And don't forget, as they say in Sanskrit, bhajan karo sajan karo murli jan li hoy. Your bhajan and your sajan will be tested on how you pass the final examination of death. That's the point. Your worship of Krishna and your sajan, your association with good samadhis, how well you are able to do it. ISKCON means that it's just not simply to take all the money out of your pocket and leave you struggling. It's not like what happened, you know, or take their check and run away, like a life membership program out of India or something. It's not like that. No. We have to empower our devotees. We love them, take care of them, encourage them, and build them up. Our Guru Maharaj said it was just like taking a stone from the mine, like a stone. And an expert gemologist sees potential in that stone. That's all right. Now, you're not trying to cram anything in the stone that's not there, right? You're just trying to, what can we do with this stone? You cut it and you polish it, you know. Cutting means you have your God, but it's somebody to kick you in the ass. Somebody, it's a fact. Somebody that disciplines you, somebody that says, Prabhu, I really love you, but you know, you're really spaced out like this, you know, and you can't do like that. You're going to get nowhere. In America, there's the joke, where are we going? I wish I knew. You know, we're going nowhere fast. You know, you're just spinning the wheels. Do you know where in the hell we're going? Well, we'll get there, you know, just get in the car, just drive, you know, and we'll ask 20 people along the way, you know. And, you know, you're in the wrong neighborhood, man. Get on the bridge, go way the heck over there, you know. Why didn't you call? Why didn't you find out? Why didn't you get a map? You know, you follow me. In Israel, there's a funny joke. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So, I mean, the whole point is efficiency. Where in the hell am I going? Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that in Gatavali. Ekabar bhavo mone. Just consider it one time, my dear friend. Asabase brahmi hetha pavike sukha jivane. While you've been wandering around, did you ever get any happiness? Pavike sukha jivane? Did you get any happiness in your life? Wandering all around, doing this and that, wandering all over the universe? Now, Indians are everywhere, Sarvagata. You know, before they used to say that the Marawaris, you know, wherever the train goes, the Marawari follows, right? But now, wherever the plane goes, the Marawaris follow, right? And the Indians are everywhere. I've seen Indians all over Ukraine, all over Russia. The kids are in the university, you know, because it's 30% of the cost of an Indian education. You know, all you got to do is cram Ukrainian or Russian. And I see them. Everywhere I go in Russia, you always find some Bharatiyas. Medical college, engineering college, they're doing something, you know, like that. And sometimes the degrees are scam. You just scam them a little bit, and they realize, oh, it's kind of a rubber education, you know. And some they get disgusted. They hook up with some other people, do some business in Moscow or something, get ripped off, go back to Bombay or something, you know. That. I met all types of stories. I've seen so many foreign guys all over the place. So Bharatiyas are everywhere. Sarvagata. They're everywhere. Just like there's living entities in every place. Bharatiyas are everywhere, right? But it doesn't matter. You know, Indians go everywhere to make a buck or to try to survive, you know. And then, you know, Krishna will do something. They'll find your wife or, you know, anybody. I've seen so many Indians married to Ukrainians or, you know, like that. It just, you know, that happens, right? All that stuff happens. But what's important is communication. You've got to become efficient. So you always need somebody to help you out. Somebody that loves you. These are described like the expert gemologists. They see the potential there in the stone, and they cut. Cutting means anything flab, fat, you know, anarthas. Basically, it means anarthanavritti. They're trying to help you. They're showing you this is your anartha, sir. Now, what will you do with it? The spiritual master and the godbrothers of the loving godbrothers of a devotee, they do that. They say, this is your anartha, Prabhu. What will you do with it? And see, they're not going to tell you. It's subtle. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to embrace it, because I can't get rid of it right now, or throw it out. But they point it out to you. This is what has to be corrected. It's not in your interest. It's keeping you down in the material world. It's keeping you down. You're not making any advancement. It's a vice. It's a problem. You've got to deal with it. Now, and if you can't deal with it right now, then they'll still be patient. Krishna can wait as long as you want. How many births you want to wait? You can wait. Like they asked me about my deities, how are they? And I said, Krishna and Balaram are always smiling. They smile with you or at you. If your sadhana is good, they smile with you. And if your sadhana is bad, like I feel it is, then they smile at you. But they're always smiling. But our program is to cry out to Krishna, to Tulsi, to the sadhus, please help me become better so that I can love Krishna faster, so that I can get out of this material world. Niranjan Maharaj was right when he said that. Doesn't matter what your nokri is, what that way, find a loving devotional community that love you. Then you have to bond with the devotee. You have to be able to open up. You have to be able to communicate. You have to, and you also have to know what you want in life. When you start chanting Hare Krishna, just come around the temple, clean the pots, you know, do any service, that's fine for starting. Okay? But afterwards, it's time to start figuring, what about Krishna consciousness that really gets me going? That really makes me happy? What is it? It's called brainstorming. What makes me really happy? Focus on that. Now, what's stopping me from getting that nectar that I really like? Your personal problems. But then what the wonderful thing about it is that we're not so special. We're just a zero. We're just a small-timer. And the previous acharyas, they all had disciples, and they all dealt with the same stupid anarthas in much expert ways than we did. The only question is identifying it. And sometimes, if you look in the Shastra, you can find your anartha in the most exquisite poetry. You know, described in the most exquisite approach, and you go, wow, this acharya is talking about my problem in such a nice, sweet way, you know, coated with such nice sugar, you know, so I can swallow it a lot easier. You see, don't sweep it under the cover, under the carpet. It doesn't work like that. You have to deal with it. Your friends who love you help you to deal with it so that you become a better human being. That's cutting. Polishing. Polishing means that they see your lakshanas, your good qualities, that you're so sweet and you're so nice. Why don't you do this? You would really take off. And then the more you think about it, they go, actually, maybe they're right. If I could just spend more time, you know, involving that propensity that I've got, then I'd be much more satisfied. You see? That's called polishing. Cutting is one aspect. Polishing is another. You see? You polish it so the qualities of the stone shine. Then, but that's not enough. It's not enough to engage the five karmendriyas, the five working senses, and the gyanendriyas, the five knowledge acquiring senses in the service of Krishna. That's the beginning of bhakti, Bhaktisiddhanta said. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, Bhaktarujate, Padmakrana said. Just to work for the temple, or do some service, right? That's, or like that, or dance in the kirtan, right? Okay, we'll do it. You know, they'll pull our arm, we'll come with it and do it. It's not enough just to do it, but you have to do it with bhava, with love, with enthusiasm. Then you get it. Krishna doesn't need your stupid puri halwa, Prabhupada used to say. He doesn't need your item. He wants your love. That's what he wants. If you love him, then he was ready. Then even the most insignificant thing, Radharani's quality is that even the most, she is grateful. One of the 25 transcendental qualities of Radharani is grateful. Even the most insignificant thing done, she'll say, Krishna, this person is so nice. He's much better than me. You please be kind to him. And if Radharani said, introduces somebody, then Krishna goes, sure, Priyali. Yeah? And Krishna, and you're in. It's not what you know. It's who you know. If Radharani becomes happy with you, then you're in. If Tulsi Devi becomes happy with you, then you're in. And if a Vaishnava, local Vaishnavas, the more local Vaishnavas are happy with you, then Krishna becomes very quickly pleased and becomes very easy to make your advancement. You see? So serve devotees. Increase the communication. Know what you want. Get something. You know, you're not expected to memorize the whole Bhagavad Gita in a couple of days. But that doesn't mean you can't start. Find the nectar that sustains you. Something that's something sweet. First, find out what you want in life out of Krishna consciousness. Find what stops you from getting that nectar. And then go for it. If you do that, then you'll always have something. You know, if you only can read 1 hour, a half an hour, get something. I'm constantly getting something from my God brothers. And they do it. They know what I want. So sometimes when they find it, they send it to me. And I go, yo! Thank you. You know, they send me the neat, some neat shloka from somewhere or something. You know, my God brothers do that. I have different shiksha gurus around the planet. And they know what I want. They know what I beg them for. And then sometimes when they find it, or sometimes I even, hey man, I'm drying up. You got anything for me? And they go, and then send me, they sling something at me and I go, woo, look at that, yow, you know? My God brother Komarupa takes care of cows. I said, hey, give me some cow shlokas. You know, I was in Ukraine at the time. He said, I'm drinking wheatgrass juice and I'm smearing myself with cooked down cow urine. You know, I'm feeling pretty cowish myself. Give me some shlokas, you know? So he handed me a whole slew of shlokas. But I go, wait a minute, there was one shloka that you didn't give me, you know? You handed me a whole bunch of shlokas and some of them are cool. But I thought, yeah, that's cool. But there was one shloka that I always used to remember you talk about, and you didn't give it to me. And then at the end of his newsletter once, I saw it. It was very cool. It's just, Agrata Shantu Me Gavo. Gavama Me Shantu Prishtata. Gavama Me Parshvata Shantu. Gavama Madhyeva Samya Hom. And that's so charming. I saw the English and I go, that's what I've been looking for. I've been looking for this shloka for the last 2 years. When I'm thinking about the cows, this shloka comes to my brain. Where's the Sanskrit? You know? And then he gave it to me. And then I handed it up to my pundit friend, Mukundadatta, you know? And because as soon as you got this praman, you got where the shloka's from, you know, and I handed it to him, you know? And he goes, you know, the more I churn this shloka, the sweeter it comes. You know, because they see it from so many different paradigms. The more you churn that shloka, the more it comes out, you know, nectar comes out. And that's the nature of Krishna Katha. This is friendship. I get something nectar and I pass it on. And then they relish it in a particular way and they throw it back at you. And this is really deep friendship, you see? And it has to be local and distant. Every one of us is meant to become a bhikkhari, a beggar. And Radhasami is meant to, she's always begging. She always loves Krishna and her love for Krishna. She's constantly thinking of Krishna in her ecstasies. And she's always, because the gopis can't see Krishna in the daytime so much, therefore they're hankering that knows no end. Huh? And because they're always thinking of Krishna, Krishna's always thinking of them. Prabhupada used to say that. In March of 1971, he said, you take one step toward Krishna and Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. And when I was a brand new boy coming around the temple in 1972, I was hearing my godbrother say it. Shukadev. There many different godbrothers quoted it. And I was inspired. I thought, what? A jerk like me? A zero like me? A stupid little kid, you know, coming off of high school with no job, no wife, no life, no, you know. Stupid little zero, punk, jerk, fool. Krishna would take, if I take one step toward Krishna, Krishna would take 10 steps toward me, toward a fool like me. But I was touched by it. Everybody needs a friend. The idea that Krishna will reciprocate with you. The idea. She should come back here with the other girls. No, don't worry, don't worry. Just go back here with the other girls. Your child can see his child, and you can sit next to his wife. You'll be happier.
No.
Oh, you mean together?
Yeah.
Acha. So you already know that. Anyway, whatever happens. When children scream and they do all these things, it increases our vairagya. That's pretty good. And it increases our detachment, you know. That's good. Children are nice, you know. They have their rights. They have their human rights, you know. It'll increase our vairagya. You're not great. My point is that you have to be with the ladies and it's very good. Yeah, yeah, mellow out. You know? Yeah, mellow out. You'll be happy. So, you understand my points? Niranjan Maharaj was right. It doesn't matter what currency is in your pocket. Right? Because it all flows out the same speed. Who loves you? That's the most important thing. Communication. Communication, conciliation, negotiation, and cooperation. Those four things. Keep that in mind. You may not agree with everybody. That's all right. Communication. Talk about it. Conciliation means emphatic. Put yourself in their shoes. Just try to understand what your friend's going through. Try to understand a little bit of what they're going through, what they need, right? It's called emphatic. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Don't criticize them unless you're ready to walk 1 kilometer in their shoes. That's what they say. The joke is there, like that. Conciliation. I'm willing to go a little bit toward you, right? They have to be willing to go toward you. You see? It's called conciliation. Then there's grounds for negotiation. It's called CBMs. Confidence building measures. Right? I may not agree with everything you are, your personality. But I'm ready to show my sincerity. I'm not going to push your button. No? Pushing your button, that's what your friends do. Your friends always kick you in the ass. They got something to do. They love to push your button. But when you love somebody, you don't push their button. You don't blow their mind. You don't try to aggravate them. You don't do the wrong things that blows their mind. You don't do that. You know? This is called conciliation. You're being conciliatory. Then negotiation. All right. Now, I promise you I'm not going to do those things. And you let's work together to make this a nice thing. Then cooperation. Finally, love and trust comes. I can trust this person. It requires communication. It means we have to bond. We have to bond. I'll tell you one story from Mayapur. In 1988, there's a devotee, a disciple of Bhakti Charo Maharaj. His name is Swarup Damodar. He was the president of our Jagannath Mandir in Mayapur. Something happened. Some nutty guy stabbed him. Probably, I don't know, 30, 40 times with a knife. You know, just made Swiss cheese out of him, you know. Some puggle, you know, some guy got angry with him, you know, he was a temple president, didn't give his sense gratification for some reason, or I don't know what this situation was. And he stabbed him repeatedly. Then they took that guy to Krishnanagar Hospital, and there was a need for blood. And all the Mayapur brahmacharis, they all jumped on a bus, they all ran out to Krishnanagar Hospital, ready, we're not going to let this brahmachari die, he said, and they're ready to give their blood. Why? Because that man was so selfless as a brahmachari. He was so selfless. He's such a loving person. And this is love. When you love somebody, you're ready to give their arm to them. Just like a while ago, last year in New Govardhan, one old friend, an old trooper from there, named Krishna Kirtan, he was one of the old original men in that community. He had some problem. His liver was given out. And so his wife, Malini, gave her kidney to her husband. And when I found out about that, you know, she emailed me, my husband can't do it, he's under the knife or something, he's just recuperating. And I found out about it. And I called him up when I became to Australia. I called him up and I said, you know, Mata, you really got me impressed. You know, as a person who never touched a woman's hand in my whole life, I said, you got me impressed. I said, you really set a wonderful example for Australia. This is more than just ordinary chastity. You know, when you actually love somebody, you're ready to cut your whole arm off and give it to them. That is really love. You're ready. You know? A godbrother in New Vrindavan, his son gave him a third of his liver. Liver is one organ that will completely regenerate itself. Completely. So his liver, his son gave him, I don't know, two-thirds of his liver. And within 1 month or 2 months, it regenerates into a whole new organ. And his organ also regenerates back completely. So the kid didn't lose anything. It wasn't like giving a kidney. But it's far out, you see? As a devotee, we should be prepared for that. We should really love everybody, the community, everybody. But in order to get that love and dedication, communication must be there. If you don't open your mouth, if you don't offer yourself to a devotee, if you don't, you know, if you don't really talk it out and try to bond and try to develop friendship, it can't be, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and you know, we'll come together in the kirtan, maybe. You know, it can't be like that. Communities just don't work like that. In the village, everybody stuck up for each other in the old days. Right? You remember that? You remember the history? There was nothing you wouldn't do for your gawala. Right, right? And when you were a villager, you could run into anybody's house, you know? You could run into anybody's house, eat there, sleep there, do anything, right? And everything was home. This is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, it's the same story. Krishna and his friends can run into anybody. Mother just saw it in Kirti, just said that, oh, it would be very nice if you can eat something now. Well, Mother, they go, if you insist, you know, all the boys say, you know. This is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. And if we want to go there, then we have to develop that mood now. That's our point. We can't be like that. Modern technology has made us into a bunch of impersonalists. We can't do that. Vaishnavism doesn't work like that. No. No. We have to take shelter of the Vaishnavas. We have to make friends. Make friends locally. Do it locally. See? Then in this way, when you get with the festival, then it becomes great. Then the next thing you've got to do, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said it wasn't enough to engage the Karmendras and the Ganendras. You know, all of you are talented, right? You broke your nose, you finished your college degree, you got a degree in accounting or whatever it is, you follow me. You got some talent, right? And now some people, they did that. They did it for, you know, 4 years in college, right? And they're playing games and they do a job like that. They do some job somewhere as an accountant or something. And then they find out, hey, you know, wait a minute. I've been doing this job now for 7 years, but actually I feel pretty weird, you know. You know? And some people, they're at 40 years old, they go, man, I'm making a big salary, and I'm making a big salary, you know, what, a four-digit salary or whatever it is, you know. But I'm not happy. I'm not happy. You know? So these guys, they'll just, like, throw it away, and they'll take a smaller salary, and they start doing something else, you know, like with an NGO or something like that. They'll join the Peace Corps or something. You know what I mean? Or they'll do something. Why? Because I want to do something that I want to do. I want to do something that I want to do. When people ask Prabhupada, disciples would ask Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, what can I do for you? He would ask them, what do you want to do for Krishna? I want to hear what they want to do for Krishna. And then they would say, yeah, yes, that's good. Or, yeah, do it like that. He will fine-tune it. He would fine-tune it. It's called polishing, right? I would say, no. If you do that, you know, in a couple of years down the line, you'll be in a mess. Don't do that, you know. That's called cutting. You follow me? And it may be painful, but that's what you got to do. If you love somebody, then you can trust it. They're what they say. But the responsibility is us. Your friends will always say, I'll give you 5 options. This is my ideas, you know. Now you take any one of them you want. You follow me? The responsibility is going to be you. Abhyasa means you do it. Abhyasina tukunte yavairagina tukrishate. It's possible to control the mind by abhyasa. You practice it. And vairagya, you become detached. You have to become detached. Krishna is completely detached. He's just waiting for us to go to him, right? He can wait as long. You want to play games in the material world and forget him. He's ready to wait. He's patient, right? So that's called Vairagya. He's detached. We should be attached to Krishna. We should become attached to Radharani. We should become attached to the devotees. But before we can get attached to Krishna and Radharani, we should be attached to the devotees. That's the beginning.
You have to bond. Otherwise, it becomes, what kind of sambandha do I got? You know? It can't be just a marriage of convenience. This is what really devotional life really means something. When you and your wife, you and your husband bond, it's not exactly just getting on with life. It's communicating so that you really grow in Krishna consciousness. The same thing in the temple. Devotees got to bond. Devotees in the temple have to bond. And the same thing with you, all of you boys here. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, get attached to devotees. Do things with them. Talk with them. Open your mind and heart. Figure out what you want in life. Because if you ain't getting it, then you're going to go somewhere else. Chanakya says that. If the mind is not controlled, the mind will follow. Your reputation will follow you. You're like your shadow. Easy journey to other temples. Easy journey to other countries. Easy journey to other spouses. Right? It's all due to the uncontrolled mind and the uncontrolled senses. If you want to make advancement in the human form of life, you're going to have to bond. You see? That's important. Then Krishna consciousness becomes very tasty. Right? Krishna mentions that very clearly, Kapila Dev. Satam prasangat mama viraya sangvido bhavanti hrita karana rasayana katha. What I'm asking you, the shloka is there in Sanskrit, but it's brass tacks. Make a friend. Talk with them about Krishna. Then you feel so good. Bhavanti hrita karana rasayana katha. The mind and the ear and the heart becomes melted. We need it. Just like, for example, Krishnakarja's godbrother, Krishna Katha Das, he's going to associate with a round the world ticket to go and serve Deva Amrita Maharaj now. So he's going to get a chance to go and bond with his spiritual master a bit. And he's going to see the Krishnanandaya Dimihi, you know, the Krishnananda, the happiness of the spiritual master, right? And he's going to meet a lot of different devotees around the world, you know, and it's going to be different. And you can bet that when he comes back in 2 months or 3 months, when he comes back to good old Melbourne, he's going to have a lot of nectar to share with the devotees, and his relationship with the spiritual master will probably deepen by that intimate travel. So that's very good. That's really good. It's very neat. I know that when I associate with my sannyas guru, whatever I get, it's much more rare now because his health is really broken. You know, and the problem is that he can't set up a schedule sometimes because his health is up and down. You can never really, you know, pin down a schedule, and I can't do that because I gotta have a schedule. So I'm having more difficulty bonding with my sannyas guru than I used to have in the old days. Although he loves me and he said, I'll make it up, you know. But he does that. You see? But it's necessary to do that. Now I also desire to bond with Deva Amrita Maharaj also. I gotta work with that out with it. Something next year so I could try to bond with him a bit. I can travel with him a bit in Australia and New Zealand. Why? Because we need that. It doesn't matter who we are. We got to bond. We got to get something. And this way you feel great. You get something from your god brothers and your god sisters. You get something. You know, like that. Just like Malini Mata, by just that simple one act of giving her kidney to her husband, you know. She taught me that wonderful lesson. Wow. She set up chastity a whole other notch. You know? There's a whole other notch there. You're going to be with somebody for 30 years, it should be really tight. Couldn't you imagine that? See? Are we ready to do that? Do you have a friend that you're ready to give your arm to them? What kind of love is that? You don't have that love. If we don't have that love, we should get it. And if we don't have that love, then the heart wants that. You're going to be dragging all over the world looking for that. Every one of us wants love. Everyone wants affection. Modern technology has made us into a bunch of impersonalists. You see? But Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, they're extremely personal. When you read Ananda Vrindavan Champu, another wonderful thing is that book, if you can get that book, translated, it was done by Subhak Swami and Mahanidhi Maharaj. When you read that, you see how wonderful Vrindavan is. What a wonderful thing. And everybody's relationship with Krishna, their conversations, they bounce off of each other, you know? And everybody's, you know, the Vatsalya Rasa, the Sringar Rasa, the Sakya Rasa, you know, and the cows and everybody, the Shanta Rasa. And everybody bounces off each other like one big happy village that it is. And everybody's completely compatible with everybody. And you can see that everybody's really stuck in their mood. They really love Krishna in a particular way. And they're hankering for that, no? But they get right along with everybody else, you know? And you see that because all the conversations, it's like a melting pot. You know, all these wonderful conversations flow. And it's interesting when you're a reader, you're looking at it outside. Kavi Karnapur has made it in such a wonderful way that it becomes such an irresistible thing. When you read about Holi festival, when you come up, you know, before Holi starts, you know, and you read about that in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, what the Holi festival in Braj is like. Not the nowadays, you know, with the chemical gulal that the throws and, you know, and your cloth is green and purple and, you know, and then you got to burn it, you know, or something like that, you know, and they got the, and this stuff is like almost like chemical, carcinogenic, you know. It's not like that. The gopis never did that. They threw you know, bombs that had kasturi, and they had kesar saffron, and they had aguru, and they had very nice things. These were subject things. That when it threw it on you, you felt good about it. It wasn't like a mess now, you know. And they actually loved each other, and they threw wonderful things on each other, you know, like that. And the victory was a victory of prema, a victory of love, you know, like that, between one party, the gopis party, and Krishna's coward boyfriends, like that. When you read that, your heart melts. This is a spiritual world. But we're not going to get there until we start practicing now. So part of our sadhana bhakti means this bonding. Bonding with another devotee. Chanting Hare Krishna with them. That's part of it, okay? But it's not simply external, just to hang out and have a good social life. Right? Let me make that clear. The next thing is abhyasa. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said you must keep the name on the tongue. That's very important. To keep the name on the tongue. That's very important. How much do we have the name on the tongue? Like I said, Paki na jani no kon apuradi mukke Hare Krishna naam bolo na. Krishna's name is really. And what's wonderful, like Narada Muni says, as soon as you call Krishna's name, immediately he comes, writing on that name. If you're desperate, like many times in the daytime I'll do that, out of habit. I'll call the name of my deities, you know? And they immediately come. As soon as you call their name, immediately they come. As if they're right next to you. Don't worry, we're here. Don't worry, we're here. At every moment we're burning in the fire of this material existence. At every moment we're in need of friend. At every moment we're lonely. And when we call out Krishna, we call out to Krishna and Balarama. Or we call out to Radha, you know, if you love Radha Vallabha, you call out to them. Or you call out to Jagannath. Like that. Or you call out to Gornatai. Huh? They'll come. Huh? They come immediately on your mind when you call out to them. It's like that. Krishna is so sensitive. Radha is so sensitive. They're so kind. They're so compassionate. And it's their company policy. They will never let their devotee down. Huh? From Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there's so many stories. There was one story, when I was looking about a calf, talking about cows, I ran across this wonderful story that Radharani found a calf whose cheek had been pierced with a piece of sharp straw. You know? So Radharani took her own lac from her own foot and applied it just to stop the bleeding there. And Radharani was crying and hugging the calf, that the poor calf was suffering. You know, and Radharani hugged the calf, you know? And was feeling so compassionate to the calf. When I was reading that, I was thinking, how compassionate Radharani is, how wonderful Radharani is, like that. Now you have to move this way, so that they can move. How wonderful, how compassionate Radharani is. So this is Braj. So Radhashtami means to. First of all, read something in Krishna book and you get some time. Sometimes Krishna book is a wonderful opportunity, you know, at night your mind is blazing, you know, from your job and everything like that. Just to stop the blazing of your mind, you know, and we open up Krishna book or Chaitanya Charitamrita and you read and you go, you just cool off. Oh, Navadvipa. Oh, Vrindavana. You know, when your mind goes there. And when you read it, you actually forget the four walls. Just forget the four walls, the tram outside, the honking of the horn. Forget all about your bills and your problems. And that, you know? Forget all about it. You know, your tensions or your ache and your big toe or whatever it is, you know. When you read Krishna book, you can forget all about it. And you can mind and go to Vrindavan for half an hour. And then, how nice. You know? And sometimes poetry is like that. Beautiful poetry about Gauranga. Beautiful poetry. Just steals the mind. Now, because our mind is just like a child, just like this kid is very restless, wants to run around, play, doesn't want to be controlled. Our mind is like that, just like a child, right? So just like parents, they have to be very expert. Like, we have to try to do something so this kid doesn't go crazy, you know? And a kid doesn't make us crazy, right? So then, so then you give them something to do, you know? You give them something to do, give them some distraction, some toy, you know, like that. So, it's like that, right? You have to package Krishna consciousness. You know, like another thing that enlivens for young ladies with children. You know, one my god sister, she wanted to give her children something. You know, so she made Jagannath dolls for them. Jagannath dolls, Krishna Balaram dolls, you know, like this. And children, they like some squeeze toy, you know, because they want friendship. I used to have a friend, you know, like that. I had an invisible friend when I was a child. I had an invisible friend. And I used to have all types of times with my invisible friend. I used to talk with them, and I used to feel, because, well, you know, if you're a little weird, then I suppose not everybody likes you. You know, like I had my friends, too, that I used to hang out with as a kid, but I had an invisible friend, because I had a need to bond with somebody. Now I have my deities, and I just bond with my deities. Nobody else may have me, you know, I suppose, but at least Krishna's within the heart of a cockroach, right? Then he can tolerate me. So that's what I was thinking. And I found the same thing about Tulsi Rani, that she's very tolerant. If you want to serve her, she'll say, sure, come on. Tulsi Rani is very kind. She'll never let anybody down. So this is great, you know? We have the spiritual world behind us. But in order to taste the spiritual world, we must take care of here in the material world. We must bond with the devotee. We must give up our selfishness. We must give up our egocentric mentality. We have to love another devotee. And we have to be able to communicate with a devotee. At the same time, we want what we need, not? So it's important. The mind is like a child. Package Krishna consciousness for it. Just like my god sister made a doll for the child. This is my Jagannath. You know, that's right, it's your Jagannath, squeeze him as much as you want. No problem, just hug him, talk with him, play with him, right? You have to, the tendency that this is mine, you have to engage it in Krishna service. Yes, it's your Jagannath, squeeze him, love him, talk with him, offer him an RT, feed him something, you know, practice, right? This is what people do. They give their children little Jagannath deities. Yeah, you can't eat anything without giving it to Jagannath. You know, they teach them how to offer the mango to Jagannath. And, you know, it's like that, you know. They'll follow. Like this. Teach your children how to do that. The mind is also a child. What do I want? What am I not getting? Otherwise, my parents didn't take care of me. My teachers didn't take care of me. My temple didn't take care of me. My brahmachari ashram didn't take care of me. I gotta do something else. Because nobody took care of me, you know, like that. But did you try to take care of yourself? Did you try to find out what you wanted? Were you trying to be efficient? Were you trying to focus on what you needed? Did you prioritize your life? Did you find out what you wanted? First, identify what you want. Then try what's stopping you from getting it? What's the anarthas? What's stopping you from getting it? You can't criticize somebody. You got to go with the goal. Then your mind is, then, okay, I found out what I want. And I found out what's stopping me from getting it. Now get somewhere. You can't blame somebody if you don't hear and chant Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or something. Just start somewhere. You can't say, well, I can't do it, so let me quit. You know? It's either I memorize all the Bhagavad Gita or I quit. It can't be like, it can't be all or nothing. Come on, start. One step at a time. Take one step toward Krishna. Krishna will take 10 steps towards us. What are we showing our sincerity to take that one step toward Krishna? And what's amazing is because Sarva Kalavidam Brahma, because Krishna is everything, every energy emanates from Krishna. Don't be surprised that you could package Krishna for yourself. If it's favorable, if Anukulyasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Gudruma Chandra Bhajana Vadesh, he says, asobam, chachobam, chaja sarvamidam. Something is auspicious, something is not auspicious. Don't consider that. Anukulataya priya sevanaya. What is favorable, do that service. Vajagodrama kanama kunja vidum. Like that. What's favorable? And Bhagavatam says that yada yada diato lugaya vibhavayantiya tada tada vibhupranaya se saradumbrahaya. Really? What I'm hankering about and thinking about in my heart, then Krishna will manifest that very same form out of His causeless mercy for me? For little old stupid me? You bet. It's His company policy. That's exactly what He does to every Tom, Dick, or Harry. It doesn't matter, or Rahul, or Anita. It doesn't matter who you are or what your name is. You take one step toward Krishna, Krishna will start to package Himself for you. Find that Krishna that you want to swallow. Find that Krishna that you want. That poetry, that sweet song, that sweet bhajan. Ah, this is nice. It steals my mind. It takes me to Navadvipa branch. Ah, I gotta have it. Good. That's right. Don't let it go through. It can't be Ayaram, Gayaram, Shabda. It can't be one sound vibration that goes through one ear and out the other. If you like it, now keep it. You're not the proprietor, but associate with it. Learn it. One shloka at a time. One stuff at a time. One mantra at a time. And if you chose it, then you'll learn it. Sync it to your cell phone. Keep it. Look at it. Relish it. It's your victory. It took me 3 days to learn it, but hey, it's my victory. I got something from the spiritual world to keep with me as a friend. You know? And it steals my mind and takes it to Navadvip, it takes it to Vrindavan. Ah! And I can give it to my child. I can give it to my husband. I can give it to my wife. I can give it to my buddy. Because I like it. Or then if you love them, then you go, well, what would they like? What do they need? If you know what they need, then you can say, hey, you know? Because friendship is like that. If you really want to help somebody, Krishna will help you. He'll show something. Look at this. Oh, this is just right for my friend. And then you hand it to him. Now get the feedback. Do you like that? And then see what they say. Well, oh, it's so-so. Then you got to try to find something else. But otherwise, you know, but if they go, wow, you know, then you became more dear to them because you gave them the nectar of the friend, Krishna. Then you also become friend. It means sharing. Krishna consciousness means sharing. And if something is irresistible, then learn it. The point is that gradually as we learn these things, then our heart will become purified by associating with Krishna, by Gauranga, by Bhagavad Gita, one shloka at a time, or one song at a time, one stanza at a time. You follow? This is Krishna packaging for your childlike mind. And as Krishna purifies the heart, as Gauranga's names purify the heart, as Krishna's pastimes start to purify the heart, then, wow, all of a sudden things that were not irresistible become more attractive now. Then everything becomes nectar. Then you can talk about, all right, let me take a vacation from my job for 3 months and go to Vrindavan and take Bhakti Shastri. You follow me? Once the taste starts to calm, then you think, hey, maybe I should study Gita. Maybe I should go to Vrindavan or Mayapur and do Bhakti Shastri. You follow me? Because the taste is starting to grow. You follow me, my point? First build the taste. When the taste comes, hey, now the whole thing is irresistible, but I just got to be empowered to how to do it. And here in this temple, we've got Bhakti Vaibhava going on. We've got regular classes going on. But it's more than just attending classes. It's bonding. You have to bond with the community. That's right. And then not only that, but the skills, even if you can't stay here forever, then wherever you learn the skill of how to bond with devotees. This is how you become Atmarama. Guru na pitu kena navachayate. Even the greatest calamity, any problem slaps you in the face. It becomes nothing if you have devotees. Follow? This is an important quality. The important quality is to be able to bond with your god brothers, god sisters, with people. This way, the defectiveness of the nuclear families is overcome by Vaishnava community. The joint family, the qualities of the joint family structure, the qualities of the village structure, see, of old. This is ancient, this is Bharatiya Sanskriti Jivans. Right? That's all. The values of the village, the values of the community, the values of the close-knit joint family, they will strengthen that. And therefore, you've got the strength to be able to cross the river of birth and death. And but like I said, we have to relish Vrindavan and Navadvip. That's our real business. And we get the taste by associating with our God brothers and God sisters. And if we associate too much with our anarthas, and we commit offenses to devotees and we don't bond with them, then the material nature just drags us away. Huh? And we only got ourselves to blame for it. Because we didn't set our priorities proper, and we didn't try to go for the gold. Instead, we accepted something else. Akura says that, anityanat madukesu, vipariyas materiyaham, vanvanamas tamo vishnu, na jane padmana priya. Having accepted the temporary for the substantial, what I thought was sources for happiness, which turned out to be sources of misery. My intelligence is vipariyaya, it's completely opposite. And vanvanamas, I've taken pleasure in that and the dualities of material existence. Na jane tvatmana priya, and I completely forgot, Krishna, that you were my close friend. Akura achieved perfection by offering prayers, but he was so straightforward, so, you know, ready to admit to Krishna and Balaram the nature of his heart. He was so straightforward. Beautiful prayers in 10th canto chapter 40. Wonderful prayers. Well, how he takes shelter so nicely, how he's so humble, how he's so straightforward. It's like, wow, really a breath of fresh air. And Krishna and Balaram reciprocated so nicely with him. We need that. We have to do that. If we can't do that with our God brothers and God sisters here, how are we going to do it with Krishna and Balaram? How are we going to do it with Radha Vallabha? You follow me? Unless we can develop this mood of Vaikuntha, of Krishna, of Navadvip and Vrindavan, right here in Melbourne, in our interpersonal relationships, how are you going to go back to Godhead? Everybody likes to quote that shloka in Gita at the end of Gita, you know. Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate brahmabhuta. One who engages in my service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, transcends the three modes of material nature, and comes to the level of Brahman, brahmabhuta. But they don't quote the three shlokas before that. Shlokas 51 through 54. They don't quote that. They just think it's so darn easy to become a brahmabhuta. No, sir, you really got to dedicate it. Buddhya vasudayo yukto. Try to purify, spiritualize your intelligence. Drityatmana nayamyacha. Drityatmana. Drutya. Become determined. Yatmana nayamyacha. Control with determination. You have to control your mind and senses by following rules and regulations. Shabda din vishayans chetva. And topics about material existence. I'm getting nowhere by this garbage topics. My mind is attracted to it. Asatkata is like prostitutes. They steal your money. They play with your mind and steal your money and leave you high and stranded. So topics, nonsense topics, not about Krishna consciousness, they do the same thing. You watch the latest Bollywood flick or something like that, right? Okay, what did you get? You got eye exercise and ear exercise. Now turn the stupid TV off, you know? Did you get anything? Nope. You know? What did you got to show for? You just messed up 3 hours, right? And we're 3 hours closer to death. You see that? You follow me? So, they're like prostitutes. Steal away the money of the customer and leave you high and stranded with nothing. That's all. With your mind titillated, that's all. Agitated and disturbed. You didn't get anything for it. So Gita mentions that. Shabda dinvasi and chaktva raga desu virasucha. And you become detached from attachment and repulsion. Ravikta seva. You learn how wonderful a sacred place is, a little lonely. You know, like we got this farm community up there. Sometimes you need to chill out. You need a weekend by yourself with nobody around, you know, just so you can talk to the cows and communicate with nature a bit, you know. Vivikta Seva. And Lagvasi,
You eat less. Now, when you're young guys, you know, you eat up to the neck. Akanta bojanakori. Eat prasadam up to the neck. But when you become 50 years old, it doesn't work like that anymore. You know. So then it becomes visesena. You want to eat what works. And if it works, then hey, great. And if it doesn't work, well, it's nothing. It's not artha, it's an artha. And it's right on your side. You know? As they say, broadness of mind and narrowness of waist change places when you're 50. You know, you become more conservative in your thinking, you know, and you become fatter. Broadness of mind, narrowness of waist, change places. You know, like so, Lagvasi, there is actually, when you become older, you start to realize that, wow, eating less has its virtues. But then what should we be eating? Harinam. We should eat more Harinam and more Bhagavat. That should be our food. You cannot fast or go on fast or do all these weird things unless you've got some tired taste. Real food is Harinam and Bhagavatam. If you've got taste for that, then yeah, sure, you can skip a four meals and not worry about it. Prabhupada's godbrother, one of godbrother that Govinda Maharaj used to associate with, was so exalted. He had such great love for Harinam. He could go into a room, shut itself up in that room, and close the windows and chant day and night for 5 days. Can you imagine? No eating, no sleeping, no nothing for 5 days. Just Harinam. Day and night. Without any worry about his material body. And then when the devotees would come in, Subhak Swami came and said, Babaji Mahasai, you're here. And we completely forgot about it. Please excuse us. Here, I brought this Mahaprasada from Radha Madhava. That's not for me. He said, that must be for the guest. When they come to me and ask a question, I'll give them some of it. What are you feeding everybody else? Oh, Khichdi, I'll bring that. He's chanting Harinam 5 days and five nights with no eating and no sleeping, and he didn't care. He didn't care. So he had got to that stage where Harinam was really his food. That's astounding. Where do we got to go? Just how far have we got to go? What are we missing in life? You see? Lagvasi, yadava kayamanasa. And we control our mind and our speech. And our mind and speech and our body. Yata, yata, that which, vak, speech, kaya, body, manasa, mind. Yata, vak, what that which controls the body, mind, and words. Dhyana yoga paro nityam, and we're always meditating on the Supreme. Huh? Vairagyam samupashatam, situated in renunciation, detachment from this material world. Ahankaram, balang tarpam, you give up false ego, false strength, false prestige. Kamam, krodham, parigraham, and you become completely free from lusty desires and anger. You become parigraham, free of that. Vimukta, completely free from all that. Nirmama, without any sense of proprietorship. Shanta, completely peaceful. Brahmabhuyaya kalpate, then you become a Brahmabhuta. So Krishna said very clearly to Arjuna in those three shlokas, what it takes to become a Brahmabhuta. You've got to climb Mount Everest. It's a big thing. It's a commitment. See? But what's wonderful about Krishna consciousness is that Krishna is very sweet and very wonderful. Simply hear. Read Krishna book. Huh? Read Chaitanya Bhagavat a little bit. Gauranga is so sweet. Gauranga is much sweeter than Krishna is actually. Because Radharani and Krishna together become Gauranga. See, he's even much more beautiful and much more attractive and much more sweeter than even Krishna. Huh? But just read. Just hear. Huh? And try to take one step toward Krishna, one step at a time. Understanding that, yeah, of course, if you really want to get Krishna, you may have to commit yourself later on. But let that, don't worry about that for now. You just take one step toward Krishna. Just start to making one step at a time. Two rounds a day, you know? Read a little bit for 15 minutes, right? Try to chant Hare Krishna while you work, when you go to the office. You know what I mean? You follow me. Come to the temple, dance in the kirtan, make friends with your devotee, right? Just try to make friends with the devotees. And one round at a time, hey, and that was fun. Now I'll chant two rounds every day. Now I'll chant four rounds every day. Just start walking toward Krishna. Krishna will start walking to you. Later on, you can start cracking yourself. When you develop a taste, then when you make real good friendship, like, you know, like I hope to get with Devamrita Maharaj like that, you'll always find a godbrother. They'll do it. They love you. If they love you, then they'll polish and they'll cut. They'll cut this off because this is not right. And you don't have the strength to cut it off yourself. So I'm going to help you cut it, you know. So they will do that. You see? They'll help you cut it. The anartha. That's a real friend. You know? And they'll polish you. And because if you can't polish yourself, you need somebody to polish you. So your God brothers will say, we'll polish you for you. Encourage you. And then you go, yeah, thank you very much. Now I'm determined. Then when you don't have those somebody, you go, yeah. And Gita mentions that. And chapter 5 is the synthesis of karma yoga and transcendental knowledge. Karma sannyasa yoga, knowledge with detachment. Krishna mentioned it very clearly in 5.17. Tata buddhaya saradmana stadnishtas. Tata parayana kachantya punaravratama gyananurdhata komasa. When your mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are fixed in the Supreme, you become cleansed of all misgivings and you go straight on the path of liberation. When you're God brothers and God sisters, people of substance. Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis of substance. They say what they mean and they do it. They fulfill their promise. And they're selfless to the core. They're dedicated to the spiritual master to the core. Like in Vrindavan, I can always, if I ever have a question, you know, to Daivi Shakti Mata, then she's right on. She's very shy, like a wonderful Brajavasi girl like she is. She's very cultured. She won't say much. But if I have a question, if I see her and I go and I say, Ma, I have a question, and here's what's on my mind, then she's always amazing. What she says is literally astounding. My God Brother Dina Bandhu will always say something wonderful about Braj that just literally captivates the heart. My God Brother Radha Govinda Maharaj will always say something about Bhagavatam. Whenever I got questions about Bhagavatam, because if I can't read the Sanskrit commentaries, I'll go to him or I'll go to Bhakti Nilamani, his brother, Bhakti Nilamani Radharaman Swami. I'll ask some questions. And I'll get some really sweetness about Bhagavatam. They'll open Bhavartha Deepika or something, they'll open, they'll look it for me. And they'll tell me, or something. And this way we churn the nectar of Bhagavatam. See? And I have my sannyasi friend Mahanidhi Maharaj. He shows me exactly how a sannyasi should live in the Dham. Exactly the tapasya. See? And I have my Niranjan Maharaj. He shows me just how to help love devotees and help serve devotees. And he also loves me. See? So from each of my God brothers and God sisters, if I can train my mind to love them and place my heart and myself in their hands, the more God brothers and God sisters you can feel comfortable to place your life in their hands and for various reasons, then you have faith that surely I'll go back to home, back to God at the end of this life. Because these God brothers and God sisters will make sure I'm ready. They will cut. They will polish. They will hug me. And they will do whatever it takes. They will drag me to Krishna's lotus feet. You see? Beyond what you dreamt possible. And it all starts by a person who is a zero taking one step toward Krishna. So please, it may be very difficult to understand all this that I'm telling you. But it's just a fact. Just start. Take one step toward Krishna. Chant one round a day. Read Krishna book in the evening before you sleep or something. A little, and just try to make friends with the devotees in the temple. And I mean deep friendship. Anytime you got a problem, you can ring them on their cell phone. They're there for you. That's real friendship. Like Devamrita Maharaj, when he was just a new boy coming around, Daivi Shakti was the magnet. I don't know anybody in the temple. I know Daivi, and he was coming, and she was, you surrender to Krishna like that, I'm for you. She was ready. She took care of everything he needed. You know, and all of his anxieties and his doubts were thrown to the wayside. Because she was a street smart girl who knew Krishna consciousness very well. You see? Everybody needs that friend. And because of that, now he can give shelter to so many people. So many people helped him out. And now he can help all of us. And what a wonderful soul. You see? So everybody needs that. I'm just telling you, please, don't just stay in your own little shell, in your own little world, and get lonely, and, you know, in difficulty. And when you, and if you do enter a relationship, like husband and wife together, deepen it. Now go deeper to discover Gauranga and Krishna. Go deeper. Otherwise, if it breaks, like my godbrother, when he told me this, I really understood it. He said that, wow, I was married to that lady for 21 years. Did I ever know her? I really wondered, did I ever know her? When he said that to me with helplessness, then I was like, wow, look at this. What is this now? In Kali Yuga, we've got to go deeper. We've got to actually bond. We've got to actually, you know, we've got to actually know what the person we live with. You follow me? Is there any questions about that? Is that clear? You've got to bond. And when you start bonding with a God brother or God sisters here in Melbourne, then you understand that by the mercy of these devotees, they're taking me back to God. It becomes good. You follow my point? It becomes easy to surrender. It becomes great to surrender. It's not like, oh man, I gotta do this. What a painful thing, I gotta do this. Instead of that, it's like, wow, I get to do this. Ah, I get to do this with so-and-so. I love to be with so-and-so. So-and-so is such a fun devotee. And we get to do this together. Yeah! You follow me? It's not that, oh, Raz, I got to do this. Man, I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted. Why are they asking me? Why do you ask somebody else? Why can't he do the sermon? Why I got to do it? You follow me? Instead of that, it's, if you bonded with the devotees, you would go, how nice. Thank you for calling me and inviting me to help you do that service. You know, thank you for being so thoughtful. You know, I get to do it. Instead of, I got to do it, I get to do it. Instead of an obstacle, it becomes an opportunity. In fact, if you have that attitude, then nothing bothers you. Anything in your job, anything in this world, everything becomes an opportunity. As the English saying goes, when the going gets rough, the rough get going. You know? Nothing bothers you. There's an obstacle? Yeah, don't worry. Krishna will help us. Prabhupada will help us. Nisringadeva will help us. Gornatai will help us. My God brother will help me. My God sister will help me. Krishna will help us ride over all this. Krishna will come in the form of my God brother and my God sister. Krishna will help me. You know? That's faith. Then nothing happens. Nothing can bother you. Okay? Is that clear, fellas? Huh? Okay, what's your question, Prabhu?
Maharaj, many times other devotees who are of same age as me or some devotees who are sometimes devotees are senior, and when they correct me or they tell me things to do in a better way, I feel a lot of anger towards them. If they correct me, so how should I handle that? When they correct me, I get angry.
Prabhupada said that. It was very interesting. It was a New York Times reporter in a conversation, I think it's 1976. He was very sincere. And you could see that. The reporter was just after a hot scoop. You know what I mean? Something that he could give. But he actually was attracted to the devotees, and he was actually quite sincere. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, how do you know what to say to your disciples, or how do you know? How do you evoke discipline? How do you do discipline? Something like that. And Prabhupada said, I cannot chastise somebody who is not my disciple. If somebody's not surrendered, you can't chastise them. You see? Brajabihari, one of my friends in Vrindavan, who's very expert in counseling and negotiating and things like that, he says, don't give advice until you're hired. Somebody doesn't come to you and say, hey, I need a help, you know, can you help me out? You know, don't give advice. You can just make some suggestions, you know. If you know where somebody's shraddha is at, then you can make some suggestions. But you let them come forward. Like, for example, Narendra Maharaj answered my question very nice. He said, don't assert authority where authority is not appreciated. Which means, unless somebody loves you, you know, you always take feedback. You know, when you say something to them, and if it hit them like a ton of bricks, you know, you follow me? Then you understand, I didn't get anywhere, you know? So it's a question of, it may be important, it may still be the proper advice for you, but if you can't take it, then they have to think, well, who loves them? Who will they listen to? So who should give the medicine? It's a question of what kind of medicine, to what degree, how fast, you know, and who should give it. Who should administer the medicine? You follow me? Now, another thing about love is that when your godbrothers or somebody can get on your case, and sometimes it grates against your ear.
Yeah, how could they say that?
You know? But when you reflect on it 5 minutes later, you go, you know what? They're right. I'll tell you something my godbrother said to me once personally. It was in 1988. It was the first Mayapur Institute of Higher Education in Mayapur. And he was teaching teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You know, and I hadn't seen his godbrother in about, 88? That meant 15 years. Okay? Something happened. I think about 14 years or 15 years I hadn't seen him. He was in Europe and I was in America or something like that. We didn't cross paths. Okay? So after 15 years, 14 years, I saw him for the first time. And he looked at me and he goes, "You're still in this movement, man? I thought you would have left our movement long before." And as soon as he said that, I thought, wait a minute. What kind of love is that, you know? I mean, like, what kind of a way to talk with your godfather like that? That was my first gut, you know, knee-jerk reaction. I was like shocked. I didn't say it, but I thought it. It was in my mind. Like, that's not very polite. How can you say that here? I haven't seen a godbrother in 14 years? And the first thing you do when you see him, you say, "You're still in this movement, man? I thought you would have left long ago." And then he turned to me and for a second he goes, "Well, actually, you know, the second time it's really great that you stay, you know, because you're pretty useless. You never make it in the material world." You know? And I thought, "Well, man, add insult to injury. There it is, add insult to injury." You know what I mean? Not only how that, it's not polite. How could you dare treat your godbrother and "Oh, Haribo Prabhu, how are you?" Instead of saying that, that's exactly what he did. He gave me that. It's pretty heavy. You know? Who is he to say that to me, man? What kind of love would a godbrother is like that, right? And then he said, "Well, it's a good thing you stayed, you know, because you would have really suffered the material world. You'd never made it. You know, you couldn't get a job. You couldn't get it. No way you would have been able to, you know." He said like that. He's kind of like turning around and walking away. "It's really great that you stayed. You know, Prabhupada protected you. He stayed. You know, it's a good thing you stayed. You would have never made the material world anyway. You're a pretty useless guy, you know." And at first I thought, "Whoa, you know, that was, how could he say that?" But then when he walked away and I started to think about it, he goes, "You know what? He's right." It may be hard to take it, you know, but the truth, you know, hey, the shoe fits, wear it, man, you know. You know, call a spade, hey, you know. Then wait, you know, why should it be an obstacle? Why not take it? Take it another way. That Prabhupada saved me. I was a small timer. I was zero. Why can't I take it the other way? That Tulsi Devi saved me. Why can't I say that my deity saved me? I would have been lost in the material energy because I took shelter of Tulsi, because I took shelter of a godbrother. Why can't I have the guts to say that I was a small timer? When I met my sannyas guru, then he really made me something. He helped me surrender beyond what I dreamt possible. Love, affection. You cannot love somebody unless you've been loved. And when you've been loved, then even when the godbrother comes, it's a little bit curt. You follow me? Like this godbrother was to me. But because I was loved by somebody, then later I can be able to take it. You see? If you've experienced love from a devotee, then you can start to take it. Follow me? You can take it. You know, like that. You can take this constructive criticism. Now, at the same time, I didn't bond so well with that godbrother. It's not like that godbrother, you really want to hook with him all the time. But, you know, but my point, I have other godbrothers that I bonded with at that particular time. And they knew me really well. And I loved them. So that, you know, at least you may change godbrothers. You know, every 5 years you associate with other godbrothers. But the principle is surrender to somebody, love somebody, open up to somebody. You follow me? In ISKCON, they don't care who you serve under. Who's your GBC? Who's your temple president? Or who's your authority? They don't care, as long as you got somebody. So my point is, love somebody and start opening up. You know? Then it happens. It happens. You have to be able to look at it, you know? You have to be able to step out of yourself. Now, what made XYZ say that about me? You know? If they didn't love you, why would they open their mouth?
They must love you. Otherwise, why didn't they open it? It might have. Maybe they needed to package it a little better. That's understandable. They may need to package it a little better. Okay, but at least they opened their mouth, right? If they didn't feel that they were going to get somewhere, then why would they open their mouth? Isn't it? Huh? They thought it was good for you. They opened their mouth, isn't it? Out of affection for you. So we should be open-minded to accept a little bit what they got to say, or at least step outside and look at it from different paradigms. Emphatic. What do I do that made them say like that? I should understand it for my benefit. You follow me? Then you grow within yourself. Do you understand that point? Now, next, another aspect of it. You may be senior, right? You know, like XYZ or something like that. I was telling one devotee here also the same story. You know, blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. You get somebody that's part of your nature and you bond with them. Okay? Birds of a feather flock together. Right? It doesn't matter how many years you've been chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter. If somebody is very nature, very close to your own, you know, then try to hear and chant with them, try to bond with them. You will learn something from it. From a subordinate, you will learn something from it. You will also force you to set a good example. Right? And you may also see yourself in them. When you take care of somebody subordinate from you, you start to see somebody. You start to see their qualities in you. Or sometimes you have the same background. You came to Krishna consciousness, you had very similar backgrounds. Therefore you're attracted to each other. You know, you had the same background before you became a devotee, so you can understand what they're about. You follow me? It doesn't matter, senior or junior. Bond. Now, another thing is, blind uncle is better than none at all. You know, get out of your shell. Bond with somebody. Bond with some devotees. The more you bond with, the better you'll be able to stand tall and you'll be able to walk on in life. You'll be able to stand tall and walk on with life. You follow my point? Because I'm protected with my godbrother Dinabandhu. Because when it comes to Bhagavatam, I get protected by Radha Govinda sometimes. I get protected by Burijan sometimes. I get protected by my sannyas guru. And I like to get protected by Deva Mrita Maharaj. He did a little bit here and there. I want to make it more. You see? When I get with Jayadvaita Maharaj, he's wonderful. Oh, I love him. This his style of preaching, everything about him, his style of preaching, I love it. So I just really want to bond with him whenever I get with him. And if you can do that, then you can go anywhere in the world and you'll be fine. You'll be totally fine. And whenever you get in trouble, then you know that you got to run and be with that devotee for some time. You see? Sometimes we get, it's called, what is it called? Refurbished, retraining. Right? What is it? Huh? Refurbished, retraining. You know, we need it again. You know, we need another refresher. Refresher program. Refresher, retreat. Right? We need a, you know, like, hey, I'm getting a little too rusty, you know. You know, Maya is starting to chew on me a little bit and I'm becoming a little attracted to the illusory energy. And, you know, I need it, you know. We have to have the guts to be able to say, I need it. I got to pull back and I got to be with my God, but my God says, I need it. I need a vacation. I need to become a better person. You see, unless you've been loved, you'll never be able to love. Because whatever you learn, you've got to pass it to your children. You've got to pass it to your wife. You've got to pass it to the next generation. Or you have to have the guts to pass it to another devotee. You follow me? You first have to love. You first learn to love other devotees and bind with them. And see how wonderful this devotional community in Melbourne is. You know, to tell you frankly, I have to tell you, I've been 3-4 temples in this place. They're building. Each temple is building and has its wonderful qualities. But I have not found anywhere as wonderful as this place is in Australia. It is the crest jewel of all the temples. I have friends of mine in UK, you know, Vikash Patel and his wife, Sheetala. They're hankering to come back here. You see?
And whatever you get here, if you go to Bombay, you know, we got Radha Gopinath Temple and those devotees there. Once you start learning the science of how to bond with devotees and love devotees and communicate, then you can get nectar anywhere. You'll be able to be so open, you'll be able to get nectar anywhere. And that's important. Okay? Now, let me encapsulate it. One step toward Krishna. A couple rounds more than before, whatever you can. Read Krishna book in the evening or something like that. Radhashtami is coming up. Read something about Radharani, you know, and her, and how compassionate she is. Nectar devotion, right? And increase your friendship with devotees and communication with devotees. This way, you make advancement slowly. And the last thing I said was, look out for number one. Look out for you, right? Are you getting what you want? Are you trying to get what you want in Krishna consciousness? Huh? And what's stopping you from getting that nectar? Find out about that. You see? These little victories, little tiny victories of Krishna consciousness. One shloka at a time, one song at a time, one dance at a time. Or something new, your god brother or god sister told you something wonderful that you never knew before. Then every day becomes a wonderful, you know, learning experience. You follow me? Krishna consciousness is personal. Let's be personal about it. Then we'll make advancement. Otherwise, 5 years down the line, 6 years down the line, where am I going? I wish I knew. We're going nowhere fast. Right? If we don't know where we're going, any road will get you there. Right? Oh, I just stayed in the temple. I didn't do nothing. I did some service. They didn't educate me. They didn't help me out. They didn't. They exploited me. You know. They vote with their feet. If you're not getting love and affection and training and shelter, what do? You vote with your feet. You go somewhere else. You go somewhere else where you can get it. You follow me? Or at least the attempt is there to try to get it somewhere else. Does that help your question a little bit? Huh? I mean, like, when that godbrother was curt with me, I thought, how daring. But when I thought about it, I thought, hey, you know what? He's right. Hey, you know what? He's right. I am a jerk, you know? Or, you know, we should be able to have the guts to say that, yeah, you know, he's right. Because unless we admit it, then we're not going to do anything to make it better. You follow? At least I had the guts to say that, all right, I'm going to get with my godbrothers to become better. Right? At least I have to have the guts to do like that. And when you've got godbrothers that... I was crying in Mayapur in 1996. I'll tell you frankly. I was crying to my deities for 2 days. I was never so devastated in my entire life. I was with my deities and I was crying for 2 days. Locked in my room, just crying. I'm so frustrated, Krishna. Where will I go? Where will I go? And my deity hugged me. He told me, I assure you, everything will be all right. I assure you, he said. Very loudly and very clearly, he promised me. I assure you, he said, everything will be all right. Then, after a day or two later, then my godbrothers had told me, why don't you approach this sadhu? He's very, very nice. Of all the GBCs, he's very, very sweet. He's very reasonable. He's very friendly. And he's very approachable. So I approached him. I had a distant relationship with him. Yes. Yes, I'll train you. Yes, I'll encourage you, he said. I never looked back since that. And then I understood. I told his disciples, and I told many people, I understood. When Krishna said that to me, I assure you, everything will be all right. Krishna was sending me the shelter of that godbrother. Krishna was coming to me in the form of that godbrother. And unless you're loved by a devotee, you cannot give love. You have no idea. Unless somebody touched your heart and worked to purify you. When you see how wonderfully and sweetly they did that, how they cut. Non-judgmentally. How they cut so non-judgmentally. How they polished so non-judgmentally with such affection. Then you can be Krishna conscious. Unless you've been loved, you don't know what love is about. And you can't give it if you don't have it. You see? Everybody needs that. Now, did I help that question a little bit, Prabhu? Huh? Yeah? I said, look, you know, sometimes you got to be brass tacks. You got to be practical. You know, I got to have somebody. I got to bond with somebody. It may not be completely with my nature, but I got to have somebody. Blind uncle is better than no uncle. You know, for starters. But eventually, Krishna will help you. They'll help you find other devotees to bond with, so that it becomes easier. You know. And then also, you have to see that if I don't like it the way they treat me like that, then why should I treat other people like that? Follow me. That and the downside. On the downside, like for this, for example, if Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Dhaka in 1935, he said like this, if interpersonal relationships cause pain, then look within, become determined that nothing can disturb you unless you allow it to. So the whole idea is that if somebody, how dare they say that? I would never say that against somebody. Then it teaches you that don't ever do that against somebody. If somebody treats you bad, then how do you feel? I don't like it. Then don't treat anybody like that. At least Krishna today has showed me what not to do. You follow me? Take it in a positive way. Krishna has given me an educational experience, what I should not do. Right? This way, look at it in a positive way. Nothing is an obstacle. Everything is an opportunity. Sridhar Swami, our Sridhar Maharaj that left his body in Mayapur, our Jolly Swami, he said, there is no utility in negativity. Why should we complain about, this is wrong, this is spaced out, this is bad, oh man, this is horrible. Why complain? Why not see the good things? Why not see the good qualities? There's no utility in negativity. Why be negative about everything? Do you understand that? Yes, your question?
How do you break bad habits?
Narada Muni says in 7th canto 15th chapter, Svapnam Uttishtamanasa, that you wake up by, you give up your daydreaming by standing up, by waking up. How do you break bad habits? Narada Muni said the same thing in shloka number 22. He said, Dambad Maharupasaya, if you're arrogant, then you serve a great soul. Service of a great soul, and that helps you. Huh? First of all, another aspect about breaking bad habits is first you have to acknowledge them that they're bad, right? You have to acknowledge that instead of considering that anartha is artha, you have to understand that actually it is anartha. Because as long as you think it is artha, you're not going to give it up. That's why we people are detached. Like I have my Kurma Rupa, my Shiksha Guru that takes care of cows in Vrindavan. Whenever I had a problem, he's a very straightforward guy. That guy would actually show me my mentality. He would like pull it out of your heart and say, this is your mentality. This is what you're telling me right now. Now what will you do with it? He's like, here's your anartha. Now what will you do with it? He's detached. You do whatever you want with it, man. It's your thing. It's not mine. You know? So basically what it is, he's showing me my fault. Now, it's up to me that I'm going to embrace my fault or I'm going to throw it out. But he's doing you the favor by showing you what it is, you see? See? So first of all, you have to recognize, yes, it is a fault. Next, what did the previous acharya say about my fault? So you use the folio, or you key in a few search words, you find, you know, different synonyms, antonyms for your same fault, and you find, beautiful Sanskrit poetry or something about that fault. Wow, look at that, you know? That's interesting. You're seeing your fault from different paradigms. Ooh, look at that, you know? And you're getting ideas. These are options what to do. Identify the fault. How does the fault stop me, my love for Krishna? Or how does my fault stop my relationship with my wife or my relationship with my friend or my efficiency in the office? Or you follow me? Huh? Different aspects of understanding the fault. Then, all right, now can I get rid of this fault? You know, or how fast, if I have to keep it temporarily, it's called dovetailing. Now, if I have to dovetail this fault because I can't give it up immediately right now, then how can I use it for Krishna consciousness, how can I be purified by this fault so eventually I get the strength to give it up? Right? You have to see it for reality, you know. There are different ways of looking at it, right?
Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra Bhakti. Try to go see it through that way, right? Next thing, if you're going to ask a devotee about, don't ask the wrong person. Right? Don't bark up the wrong tree. You follow me? If you're going to reveal your mind and confidence to a devotee, meditate very carefully whether that devotee has had that fault in the past and was able to do it, right? Don't ask the wrong person. If you ask them, you're wasting your time. Try to find the right person to ask about a particular fault. Explore it. You know, you explore the faults in so many different ways. You see what I mean? But then you have to make some decisions. All right, now it's okay. Now after researching the fault, now I have to make some decisions. How fast do I give up this fault, or what should I do? Step by step program. How to make sure that the fault is dealt with. Well, and next thing is, don't browbeat yourself because of the fault. Prabhupada said, you don't fall sway to depression and things like that. That must be given up. Be positive minded. Krishna is very kind. If I chant Hare Krishna, if I worship Gauranga, Gauranga will help me kick out the faults. Bhakta Dosha Hanta. Gauranga is known as Bhakta Dosha Hanta. He destroys the faults of the devotees. Gauranga did that to Amoga. Amoga, a Brahmin is so pure. Why have you allowed enviousness and jealousy to sit there in the heart? Amoga. You see? Because of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Mahaprabhu was so kind to Amoga. You follow me? These are some confidential, these are some standard things. Krishna and Gauranga will help you. Be positive about it. Continue chanting Hare Krishna. Continue associating with the devotees. Krishna will help you. Right? You follow? Yes. Don't be depressed. Don't fall sway to, what is it called? A negative attitude or depression due to a lack of self-esteem. If you can hear and chant with a friend, then your self-esteem will rise. Who's that? Who's that? Krishnagraja is back. Do you follow my point? Huh? Krishna will help you. Don't be negative. Be positive about it. Okay? Any other questions now? Yes, sir.
Why do we use these mats or asana?
What for? Well, it's better than sitting on the floor, I suppose. Sometimes some people think the cooler is cold.
That's
some
the
people.
Logic or?
Yeah, that's the only real logic, is it? Well, you should have an asan. When you're in front of Krishna, you should have an asan. Krishna, because it's Vedic etiquette to give a sitting place, a straw. You know, we don't have straw mats. You know, maybe these were cheaper or free. You know, they are, well, you know, rugs. They are kind of moochy. You know, because dirt sits in there, you know, and it's not cleanable very easily. So I can see that is a constructive criticism. That perhaps, you know, rugs are moochy. But, you know, blind asana is better than no asana at all. And then it's part of Vedic etiquette to offer a guest a seat, you know, just to sit, to give him a seat and some sweet words and a glass of water, you know. And even Krishna, when Krishna's servant is serving him as a pujari, it's one of the regulations is to have an asana, because Krishna feels uncomfortable. Krishna wants to make sure that you're sitting okay, you know. Don't want to make Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all etiquette, right? So you don't want to put Krishna and make him feel weird that, you know, that my servant is not sitting properly, you know. And then, you know? So that's one reason why having an asana. But yeah, you know, chattai would be better now, but, you know, Markandeya Malanga. You know, if you can get it. You know? Another thing is that if you feel, like sometimes if you feel that this seat is not very good, it's not very clean, then why don't I buy some straw mats and give them to them and tell them, why don't you throw those stupid things away? Here, I bought these nice straw mats. You know, as in America, they have the saying, put your money where your mouth is. You know? If you feel strongly about it, that, yeah, this is a moochy, stupid rug, you know, then are you going to do something about it? No, if you're not going to do something about it, then why do you say, you know? You should be prepared to do something about it. I like, yeah, I know where I can get some straw mats. Well, then, okay, do it. Hey, it's your service. Like Prabhupada said, when in 26th Second Avenue, one drunk came in. How are you? You know, he's completely drunk. And he had rolls of toilet paper. And he walked in and he put toilet paper in the bathroom and he walked out. And Prabhupada said, just see, he's a drunk man. His devotional service is starting.
Follow me? So the idea was, hey, all right, it's a valid thing. Maybe the carpets are moochy. Do you know where you can get some good ones? Sure, it's your service. Do it. Well, you can bring it. You can bring it. Great, you know. You can bring some new mats. That's nice. But it's part of etiquette to offer the guest a seat. That's why. And we're doing the best we can according to Kaladeshan Patra, time, place, and circumstance, you know. That's all. It may not be the biggest
deal. I asked this question because they offered me mats or something like that. It's being a Brahmin from South India, even my parents interest me to rest on mats or something like that. Not on floor or something like that. They interest me to sit on mats.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. But these are moochy. It's a fact. Chatai is better, you know. Grass is better.
Yeah.
And a better, there's always good, better, and best. You know, from chatai there was darba grass. But most of the time there's, you know, kusha grass asana. They're not actually kusha grass. It's something other, some chalu grass, you know. And the name, you know. And because people don't know what kusha looks like, therefore, you know, koi bhi bejega, you know. You know. Look, in Brent Braj, they got these guys, they're coming around with the, you know, they say Madhumakhi cassette, but it's not. They just got this honeycomb and they got a few dead bees floating in it, but it's Gur Chasli, you know. It's nothing but Gur Chasli with a few dead monkeys in it, you know. You know? And the guy's putting it out that this is Madhu. Ah, bilkul shud Madhu. Samajh gaya, bilkul shud Madhu. Sach hai? I fell for that. You know, one day, some guy came around, you know, looking for the Videshi wallets that have no brains, you know. They will sell you this madhu. It's nothing but Gur Chasli, you know. So I brought him in the ashram, and I took him in front of my deities. And I said, look, if I use this honey for my deities, I'll be sick. Yeah. Is it pure? And the guy, yeah, it's pure. Bhagavan ka samni jhut bola. Look at that. What a Chalurama Acharya. He's not simply Chalu, he's a Chaluram Acharya. He's more Chalu. You see, Bhagavan ka samne jhut bolta. Look at that. They have no scruples. In the bazaar, you know, the guy would walk around Loy Bazaar like none of the shopkeepers gave him any time of day. They know he's a Chaluram Acharya. They know. He's not Shuddha. You right? So, you know, once burnt, twice shy. We learn by making mistakes. But if we don't know what is kusa, what is really a good grass mat, then, you know, koi bhi chalega, you know? Right? Any person will buy anything. You tell him it's good, and they'll go, well, okay. Prabhupada said, if you don't know what gold is, then you'll get iron pyrite, you know? You'll think, fool's gold, right? Huh? If you don't know what ghee is, then you'll buy dalgar. Right? You have to know what is good and what is not. And if it's good, then you're ready to pay for it. Prabhupada said they're still ready to pay, you know, to get some good shudgi, you know, sweets, mitai. You know. But if you want, you know, dalda sampapri, then buy dalda sampapri. But if you want good ghee sampapri, then buy it from the Govardhan, you know, Mishtan Bandar, you know, and Giriraj Mishtan Bandar on Govardhan, if you want it. Anybody that uses shudgi, then you can get, you know, good quality, you know. You get what you pay for. You pay them peanuts, you get monkeys. You follow me? So bring, if you want to do some service for Krishna, bring something really good. You know, try to give Krishna the best. Krishna is not interested in the dravya; he wants the bhakti. But part of bhakti means to give Krishna something good, really, like that. That's part of it. No, it's a niti. Yeah, offering some asana. It's a niti. It's also respects. The paramatma is there within the jivas, right? So we're also respecting Bhagawan that's there within your heart by offering you an asana, some sweet words, some water. You know, it's like that, right? This is a niti. Huh? It is Satviki Bhava. You know? Also, Atithi Devo Bhava. The idea of seeing that the Atithi, the guest, is Bhagawan has come in the form of the Atithi. You know, so giving them a guest, sweet water, some water, some nice water, and some nice sitting place. It's part of Swagata. It's part of Swagata. Okay? Or kuch? Or kuch prashnak, yeah. Ma.
I have a question about improving chanting.
About what?
How do we improve chanting? Improve its concentration towards chanting, especially with the kids.
When the kids, because the children pull you, they're your mother. If you're their mother, then the kids demand all the time. When the kids are asleep? When the kids are asleep, then you can... When the kids are asleep, then you can improve your chanting. Yeah. Well, then you do other tricks in the trade too. I'll show you another trick in the trade to see whether it ends. You chant in other ways. I mean, like if you have trouble, you want to chant more rounds, right? But you can't keep your bead bag in your hand.
No, Prabhu. I'm not asking about more rounds, but I'm chanting 16 rounds. But I want to have a concentration on the chanting, what I'm chanting, you know, the deep concentration. That's why. That's what improving.
Try to hear it. Try to be desperate.
We need a peaceful atmosphere for that, is it?
So yeah. There are two types of ruchi. Madhurya Kadamani said there are two types of ruchi. One is called excellence of elements, and the other one is non-excellence of elements. Like, for example, if you get a nice atmosphere, you know, a nice temple room, nice devotees, Tulsi to go around with, you feel good. Feel good about chanting, right? Now, in the beginning, we need that, right? We need that to keep our... But later on, Krishna is going to throw a spanner in the works. You know, like your child is there now and demanding attention. The child doesn't know, but yet at the same time, it's a test. Do you really love Krishna or not? You follow. So it's a test of your determination that Krishna is becoming hard to get now, and now it's time to become more dedicated, you know? So you call out plaintively. It means you try to, when you do chant, you try to chant desperately.
Still I'm doing offensive chanting, Swamiji. That's what
offensive
I'm
means you're not paying attention and you're distracted and like that.
That's what, that
chant louder than the mind. That's one thing. How do you chant louder than the mind? You chant louder than the mind. It's just scream the holy name. Your domestic life, chant louder. Chant louder. When you're chanting. Prabhupada's godbrother, Murari Hari's father, he was 90 years old in 1995 in Mayapur, and I approached him and I asked him, how do you develop chanting if there's no ruchi? He said, you have to chant, as long as the mind is not fixed on the name, you have to chant louder than the mind so that you may focus on the sound. And then he said, and then once the mind becomes steady, then you can speed it up, get more nam in. Chant it faster, keep more nam in. But in the beginning, if your mind is distracted, chant louder than the mind. Now what's interesting is that 11.255 says that if a devotee chants unattentively or irreverently, still Krishna is inclined to destroy innumerable reactions in the heart of the devotee. It says, what to speak then of a devotee that chants with real love? Krishna cannot leave the heart of such a devotee who chants his name with real love. One who has thus conquered the Supreme Personality of God, it is called Bhagavata Pradhana. Just like your child may kick you in the stomach sometimes, or later on as the child grows, sometimes he's very irreverent, sometimes he slaps you back, or something like that, you know. But you still have so much love for the child. So similarly, Krishna has love for us. We may pay attention to Krishna sometimes, and sometimes we don't. But it doesn't mean that Krishna will refuse to love us. You follow me? As long as we don't offend his devotee, then Krishna will always be open to us, you see? So the holy name is there for us. We have to call out. Another thing that will help you is Tulsi Devi. She's very powerful. If you chant with her, she makes your rounds a lot better. If you have the shade of Tulsi Devi landing on your body, your japa is immensely better. Prabhupada mentions it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Leela and Ananti Leela. He says there that if you chant in the front of Tulsi Devi, it's a lot easier, it's much better. You make very rapidly, you make advancement. Tulsi is very powerful. She helps you. She helps out. But take shelter. That's the thing. Chant louder than the mind and keep... Don't give up trying. Please. Hare Krishna mantra is the process for self-realization. Don't give up trying. All right? Understand that right now it's a test. I've got a child and I have my responsibility. It's a test. When the going gets rough, the rough get going. I know God brothers, I know one God sister, Radha Kunma, she had 8 children. She still read the whole Bhagavatam. She still distributes books right now in front of Krishna Balaram Mandir, in front of Prabhupada Samadhi. She's an astounding lady. She had 8 children. And she still read the whole Bhagavatam end to end. If you're determined, you can do it. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get pain in your life. And when once one of her kids, when one of her kids ran off to do something whimsical, then I turned to her and I said, Ma, when your child does this, doesn't it give you pain? You know, I didn't know. What the hell do I know? And she says, I can't begin to tell you. And when she said that to me, look, I can't begin to tell you about the pain of that.
Whoa.
You know? I learned from my householders without having to do it. I learned a lot from my householder godmothers and godsisters. And when they say that to you, you're like, wow, you know? It's a big, parenting is a big thing. Now your child is only going to be as good as you and your husband is. So it's, they, and they see it. They pick up, they're very smart. They'll pick up hypocrisy very quick. If you have double standards, then they pick up on it. Children are only going to be as devotional as their parents are. If their parents are really good devotees, then your child has got a really good running start in life. So this is a challenge. It's a challenge to set a good example. It's a challenge to get realization. It's a challenge for you to call, it's an opportunity for you to call out to Krishna and cry out for the holy name. Right? Nothing is impossible. Impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary. Alright? Keep trying. Another thing you can do, Ma, you can ask other devotees that have children. How do you do it? It takes one to know what.
They are also saying the same thing.
They what?
They are also not concentrating. They are also saying the same thing. We have the same question too.
No, there are some ladies that managed. I know. There are some ladies that manage. I have email addresses of some ladies that are really good. Ananda Vrindavan, Mata in Vrindavan, she's in charge of the Gurukul there. She had her kid Gopinath. I mean, that's good. Radha Kun Mata. I don't know, she's not so much of an email lady. Sheesh. I got Kusha's address in Hawaii. You can ask these ladies. I got many different ladies. If you ask Aniruddha's, ask Aniruddha's wife, she could probably introduce you to a lot of ladies on email and stuff. You can ask them. You know, you can batter this around with other people. You know, you can learn from other household ladies. How did they do it? Been there, done that, you know? Yeah, you can start networking with other ladies and stuff like that. Impossible is a word in a Fool's Dictionary. Just because a couple of your friends locally might be having that same problem, it doesn't mean that everybody's got it. I mean, ultimately, every lady has got to cross that bridge, you know, that, wait a minute, I'm a devotee. I'm Krishna's part and parcel. I still got to chant my rounds. I still got to help my husband. I still got to, despite my kids, right? It's a challenge. You've got to rise up to the challenge and meet it. You know, and how each lady gets the strength to do it. Urmila is good. She's in America. She's smart. She has a whole school for children. Urmila, she's smart. There are many different other types of ladies you could hook up with. You know, that'll help you with this. You know? It's not impossible. Hmm? I wish I could serve it, but unfortunately it's impossible for me. But I did, this man was our householder. He was 90 years old. He was a householder. He was Murari Hari's father. And he told me that. That's the business. Chant louder than the mind. He did it. Dharani Dara. What a wonderful Vaishnava. About 2 weeks after I talked with him, Murari Hari was going out to get some chikku for him. He didn't have any teeth, you know. He was getting some chikku, you know, to mash and give him, you know. And he just was sitting in front of the deity and went, Jai Gaur Sundar! And he gave up his body like 2 weeks after I talked with him or so. It was astounding, Vaishnava. I'll never forget his shiksha that he gave me, you know. Dharani Dara Das. What an astounding Vaishnava. Yeah, we should have the ability to learn from the older generation. You know, that's good. Some of these Vaishnavas are no longer present, but they're present in their books. Some of these books are astounding, you know, we should take shelter. There are many ladies. There are many ladies that are great. I would, I have Shraddha in Daivi Shakti. She had her daughter. Her daughter is her name is Dauji Krishna. She's married now. Her daughter's married now. But, you know, we could ask her. How, what happened when your daughter was real small? How did you manage? Daivi Shakti is like indefatigable. Her determination is like a big mountain, you know. It's like she, nothing stands in her way, you know. Nothing stands in that lady's way. She's so amazingly determined, and she's so amazingly positive and so blissful and so Indian, you know. Daivi is astounding. I'm sure you could get, if you email Daivi, I'm sure she will. If you find it, you'll find some girls that will help you. You'll find some ladies that will help you, I'm sure. I know Daivi is good. Narayani, my God's sister that teaches Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, she had her son, you know, 14-year-old, he's 15 years old now. Yes! How did you, was it hard for you when your kid was really small? How did you manage? They'll all tell you, you know, I'm sure they'll all tell you, you know. Who else? I can't say anything more. I don't know anybody else that had kids. Like I said, been there, done that. As householders, I've been there. You know, that's all you can do. Huh? And try it yourself. It's a test. It's a test of your determination. Are you determined?
Yeah.
It's a test now. That's right. So now it's Krishna's testing you. You see? But it's not, another thing about it, it's not the first time you did it. And how many births have you had kids, you know, and stuff? We've had our kids in so many births. But why have we taken birth again? We didn't learn the lesson last time. We didn't learn the lesson last time. We misused our independence. We didn't learn the lesson last time. And therefore, we had to do it again, right? Learn the lesson this time, right? If you're determined that nothing will stop me from attaining Krishna, then you will attain Krishna. Krishna says that in Gita. One who is determined achieves me. Right? So become determined. But that determination will shine in your child's heart. If your child sees with their own eyes how mother chanted Hare Krishna under any circumstances, how mother was so determined, how father was so determined. Nothing. In my parents, I saw so much strength in my parents. And that's a big thing. That child will be able to stand up. You know, in India, you know, like in Bombay, you got, what is it called here, you know? Birla, you know, swimming pool, right up there on Queen's Necklace, you know, on Marine Line, you got these, you know. There's so many bunyas, they'll name their philanthropic projects after their mother or something like that, because they got so much from their mother, you know. So your child will get so much strength from you, but show that strength. I have to teach that, I have to show my child how to chant Hare Krishna. You know, you follow me. It's a test. It is not an obstacle. It is an opportunity. Right?
Thank you very much.
Any other question now? Are you all ready for Radhashtami? We have nice, you know, nectar devotion, many nice things you can try to learn. What, how wonderful and sweet Radharani is, that how she keeps Krishna under control by her wonderful, sweet, transcendental qualities. And then you can come and be with the devotees. You can pray to her, please, you're so compassionate. Please drag me to Krishna's lotus feet somehow or another. Please make me ready in this human form of life. So we can serve properly. Radharani is very kind. The deities are very kind. You pray to them, they'll help you. Tulsi Devi will help you. And then take them. But it's not just simply a magic wand type of thing also. We also have to apply. We have to show our sincerity by application. Then we'll deserve the mercy. Then we deserve, when we pray to them, we actually show that we deserve the mercy, because we're very active and very practical as well, right? And it's not that, Prabhupada was laughing in the tape, he said, it is not that Arjuna said that, Krishna, you're doing everything, so you do it, I'll sit down and smoke ganja. Sit down in the chariot and smoke ganja and you do everything. No, he was a Kshatriya, he had to fight. So he had to do his duty. He had to use his propensity, but he depended on Krishna. Prabhupada was very, very practical about it. We have to be practical at the same time, but we depend on Krishna for the results. And we prayed for the deity's mercy. So the deities are yours. The Radhavallabha is so nice, and they're so kind, and they're so accessible. Now take shelter of them, remember them, chant their name. And when you call their name, they'll come running on that name to you. And you'll feel pacified that I'm not alone at all. When I call their name, they're right. I get so scared, just like a child calls out, Ma! And then you go, I'm here.
right? And child goes, oh, my mother's here, fine. So when you call out Tulsi Rani, Rani, and as soon as you call her name, huh, she comes, huh? Or you call the name of Krishna, Gornatai, Gornatai, they'll come. They'll come in your mind and realize, I'm not alone. When I call their name, they come. Huh? I'm not alone. How nice. Huh? How nice. You see? Krishna consciousness is so nice. We just have to become dependent like a child. Also, learn from your child. Your child will teach you many nice things. See?
I think so.
Your child will teach you how to be dependent on Krishna in so many ways. You know? There's some things you'll learn from your child. That how you should take shelter of Krishna in some ways. You get realizations. Any other questions now? Sadhus, sadhvis? All right. Now it's time to distribute prasadam.